You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Logan Pluhar, Assistant Trainer and Director of Operations with Bud Lion Performance Horses. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to be here.
So our topic today is one I'm excited about because it's one that I probably know the least about, which is managing Western performance horses. So could you just start out by describing your current role and the types of horses that you have in the barn?
So my current role, as you said, is assistant trainer, but also director of ops, in that I feel like I kind of have a hand in the majority of the areas of our business. When I started full-time with Bud 4 years ago, you know, he just needed somebody to fill a role to help as his assistant. We had a smaller barn, and as it has developed, you know, it's gone from I just need somebody who can help ride the horses to my barn's gotten so big that, you know, I need somebody that can help organize this place. You know, to he moved to a new place, and we need somebody to go spray the weeds in the pasture. Can you figure out who can do that for us? You know, like all sorts of details. And I like to think that my bread and butter is our show operations and getting ourselves ready for the shows and running our organized chaos at shows when we have, you know, something like maybe 30 head at some of our larger shows and a whole host of clients. You know, so that's, it's, there's a lot of hats that I wear. You know, it's a, no 2 days are the same. For sure. And as for the disciplines, we specialize in the reining and predominantly the ranch events, which is ranch riding, ranch trail, ranch rail. They're the newest events for the American Quarter Horse Association, and they have been growing at a tremendous rate the last several years. And Bud, who was originally purely a reining horse trainer, he kind of got caught into the ranch thing, and it has exponentially grown his barn. And I would say that a good 75% of our clientele are the ranch riders, and that ranch riding event, you know, it's a, I feel like it's a good catch-all. Like it's unique in that, you know, ex all arounders, ex reiners, ex cow horse people, ex hunter jumpers, you know, can go and have fun and just really enjoy themselves in our events. So,
awesome. So, could you maybe expand on how you've grown in your position in the years that you've been with Bud?
Yeah. So, like I said, I started out, he just needed somebody who could come in and help him at his. His busier shows, you know, help behind the scenes, as well as help warm up his horses, you know, get his horses prepared between shows, you know, and as that has gone on, I've become more of a trainer in terms of I give more lessons, but at the same time for our operation, he's had to hire more staff. So there's been managing our staff and delegating tasks to them, keeping up with, you know, what are the needs of the ranch at whatever time of year it is. You know, just I think the growth of my role has corresponded with me always asking myself the question of what can I take off of Bud's plate? You know, what can I take off of Bud's plate and what can be improved around here to make our lives easier and to make our barn and our clients more successful. And it's just kind of grown and expanded. Really a lot of it has just been a lot of organization and putting in some routines and I don't know how to describe it, but just ways to kind of get everything in order so that we don't feel like we're, you know, crushed underneath the weight of a really large barn of horses and clients. And that's kind of sums it up for me.
I think everybody's probably looking for ways to improve efficiency and not feel like they're being crushed by their workload.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
So this might sound like a trick question to a lot of people who manage barns, because I don't think there's such thing as a typical day. But if you had a typical day, could you describe what that might look like managing and working in the barn?
Well, you're right. No 2 days are the same. I don't spend all year round at the barn. You know, I go to the majority of the shows that we go to. But in terms of a normal day in between those shows, like we're about to hit a good solid month here before we begin another run of shows, I would say, let's see, depending on the time of year, like as we go to the summer, we start earlier and earlier. But right now we're starting at about 7 a.m. I'll get to the barn and I'll go through the whiteboard, our big master list of horses, and start assigning horses to who's going to ride who that day. I'll start communicating with, I'll get Bud telling me who he's going to ride that day, you know, checking in to see, make sure our people that were planning to come for lessons are, you know, what time they've narrowed down to when they're going to come out. And while I'm doing that, we've got two wonderful girls who are also assistants of Bud, Lily and Peyton. They'll just start working around the barn while their horses are getting saddled, you know, doing the meds, taking care of the special supplements that we don't have our regular guys feed when they do feeding. It's just so that we have a little bit more control and monitoring of those supplements, dragging the arena, such like that. We start our day like that, and then we just get it rolling on riding. We try to process through our horses and our horse lists individually as efficiently as we can while also getting the most out of our rides. And then sprinkled throughout the day is usually lessons, and like breeding season is happening right now. Like we will haul some of our studs that we use as our show horses are also, you know, needing to be collected. So we'll haul them 30 minutes down the road to our repro center that we use with our repro vet and bring them back. And we have recent mares we're picking up. And, you know, usually we finish our day. Gosh, it always varies. Yesterday didn't really get finished until about 8 p.m. But today we finished about 6 p.m. Wrapping up. We had several lessons today. We all had a pretty light load. Like, I think I only rode about 9 horses today. it's not too bad. Really, it's, you know, it's the little things like having, we've got a couple great grooms right now that, like, I'm able to hop off a horse, tie that horse up, and get on my next one, which is very abnormal because I grew up where you always saddled your own horse and unsaddled your own horse, took care of your own stuff, and it was a way to build character and all that. And it took me a little while to get used to that, but it does. It really improves your ability to work through a long horse list if you have one that day. But that's pretty much our typical day when we aren't, you know, getting ready to head to a show. If we're getting ready to head to a show, we'll add some extra tasks like organizing the trailers, making sure all the client's stuff is inside, you know, going through picking up hay that we can have so that when we get to the show, we have an initial feeding of hay for the horses, just all the extra planning and after hour stuff that happens when you're not on the horse or in the barn. It's different every day. It does keep you on your toes for sure.
Yeah, I always feel like I'm asking people a trick question, especially horse people, when I ask them what their typical day looks like, because they're like, what are you talking about, a typical day?
Yeah, well, I mean, on those days when we don't have lessons and I just have a horse list in front of me and I can just focus on that horse list, and those can be some of my favorite days because I feel like I get the most productive riding in. But like, yeah, there's always a curveball. There's always a curveball, but it helps you become really good at adapting and just kind of going with the flow of the day. Like, you can't fight the day. You have to embrace it and make the most of it.
Definitely. Yeah. So let's switch over to talking about the horses a little bit more. So can you tell me how you balance the needs of these high level performance horses with their biological needs as horses? I know this is something that we struggle with pretty much in any discipline.
Mm-hmm. Well, our prototypical week is probably like many others. We try to aim for 5 days of riding with our horses in training. And then usually the way that works out is that on Saturday, they get a day of either going out on the walker, grazing, maybe some light turnout. And then Sunday is a complete off day for everybody, horses and humans. And to work around that, we, while we're trying to maximize that horse's potential, you know, we're trying to keep in mind the client and their goals as well. So as we're preparing for a show, it's just kind of keeping an eye on that horse. You know, do they feel it? Do they seem like they're, you know, peaking at the right times? Do they need a little extra work? But we do try to keep a good balance in that, you know, we're not going to ride 7 days a week, obviously. And the show horses that are a little older, they may only get ridden 4 times a week, and a couple of those will be more like light exercise rides. And, you know, if they need a little bit of extra tune up before their owner comes for a lesson the next day, we'll give them that. But once they learn their job, it's just really, it's about keeping them fit, keeping them healthy, and keeping them engaged. And then just figuring out, when to start ramping them up in intensity so that they're able to handle the pressures and rigors of a show. It's just keeping a good eye on everybody, while maintaining your goals and everybody's goals in mind at the same time.
Definitely. Yeah. I like that you guys are able to work your schedule where they kind of, you know, they work during the week and then everybody can have a little bit of a break over the weekend. I think it's so important for everyone, to horses and humans, have a bit of a mental break.
Oh yeah. And I see how, I've noticed how, there are some barns that will take like Sunday and Monday, you know, I can see how that can be successful, because I'm sure people that work during the weekdays, they'll want to take lessons on Saturdays. And, you know, we definitely get a good bulk of our lessons on Saturday mornings. So for the horses that have lessons on Saturdays, like, we might give them, you know, Monday as an easy walker day or something like that. But we try not to grind on them too hard, but at the same time, we want to keep them fit. And, you know, that we just, the, it all boils down to, you know, having those open pathways of communication with the clients, and, planning with them about the next chunk of shows during, and figuring out when those breaks in the show schedule are happening. And, you know, just try to keep everybody happy, horses included.
That's a bit challenging, I'm sure.
Well, it can be.
So speaking of the horses, you know, soundness and happiness, can you talk a little bit about the role that preventive care plays in keeping these horses sound and happy and performing well, especially when it comes to like joint maintenance and hoof care, your feeding program? I mean, I think these are things that we're all constantly trying to improve for our horses.
Yeah. So we have a great sponsor in Nutrina, and we have a great supplement sponsor in Platinum. And, you know, it's monitoring your horses and, the longer you've had a horse, the more you know their history and the more you know how they prototypically act or how they look. So like if we've noticed one of those horses seems like they're getting a dull coat or their skin's not really recovering very well in the sweat and with everything happening, that you're like, well, you know what, the changing of the seasons, maybe they're getting a little flaky on their skin because of allergies, and we can talk to our vets and Platinum as well, and they'll send us out a jar of their skin and allergy, and just really listening to what the horses need. And we have a really, really good vet up at Oklahoma Equine Hospital, Dr. Jessie Arnold, and she's our main go-to for flexing our horses every few months. Now, we don't necessarily flex everybody in the barn. Usually it's more of a focus on the horses with a big round of shows coming up. But since we are exercising the majority of the horses in our barn, you know, like I said, 5 days a week, you know, we can tell if they start moving a little differently. We'll say, we'll just take a look at this, you know, see if there's anything that they need a little maintenance on. It totally varies by horse. In terms of supplements and such, but as long as we just have a good open communication with our vets, our farm vet, our owners, and then we're just trying our best to pay attention to our horses and listen to what they're telling us when it comes to keeping them happy and healthy. When it comes to the shows, after the shows, they get a good solid week off to try to get them some good amount of rest. Let's see, usually when our show schedule ends at the start of December, we get a good two and a half months off before we crank it back up again. And that's our big off season time. So our horses that have really been grinding throughout the year that might've had a really full fall, they'll get as much as 3 to 4 weeks of just really chill exercise rides or just walkering, turning out, grazing. You know, we try to get them that big chunk of time at least once a year. Just trying to keep them all happy.
Definitely. Yeah. And speaking of shows, what do you guys do when you're actually on the road to make sure that your horses have everything they need, and also your clients too? Cause it's a lot to manage.
Yeah, when we're at shows, especially when it comes to shows that have both the ranch events and the reining events, we have some horses that do both, and we have some horses that do both while also doing both open and non-pro events. So they get a pretty tough schedule. We like to lean on the saltwater spa is always one of our good go-tos. Occasionally we'll use something like the MagnaWave or the Shockwave therapy on some of our horses that might get a little sore over their top line. I mean, especially if we're to show, say, like the Congress, the All-American Quarter Horse Congress, like there's a lot of concrete involved at that show. And, you know, it's easy to get foot sore and back sore, and we try to pay attention to them and what they need. One of our, clients, actually, they hooked us up with the Sport Innovations therapy blanket. It's a big red blanket. It's got PMF and massage on it and heat, I think. And, you know, we try to build that into our routine on show days before and after they show. You know, just trying to pay attention to our horses, make them as comfortable as possible because they are in a foreign environment. You know, normally the stalls will get stall mats, but it's still a little bit, it's not like home, you know, they're not going to be as comfortable as they are at home. And, you know, we try to make them as happy and healthy as possible. And, like when it comes to the show schedules for those horses, like I said, that might have open and non-pro slated classes and multiple events in a day, we try to start game planning pretty early as soon as the show bill comes out with the owner and laying out, hey, while this horse can do all these classes, when we look at it on the schedule, it's going to be too rough of a schedule for them. Which of these classes can we cut? you know, as much as we know they can be successful in all of those classes, if it's not the best thing for them, we try to cut that out so that they can be at their best for the classes and the goals that the client and the trainer has in mind for that horse. You know, we try not to get too greedy there.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So let's pivot a little bit to budgeting and cost control. I mean, obviously horse shows are a big expense too. So can you tell us how your barn handles budgeting and cost control while still maintaining a high standard of care for the horses?
So obviously it's Bud's business. He handles the pricing, and with his years of experience, he knows how to best put together his training costs. And really, from what I can tell, if we're able to look at from the general client's perspective and from the business owner's perspective and find what is fair for both sides, most of the time everybody comes out pretty happy. I mean, for our operation, I think it's pretty prototypical across most operations. The shavings, the hay and grain at home, the general supplies and such are included in our training costs per month. And we keep track of maybe special expenditures. If a horse has to have a special kind of supplement or a special kind of med, we keep track of that monthly and we bill that on top of the normal fee. You know, and nothing too special and unique from anyone else, I don't think. I think it just comes down to being well informed and us doing our research and those basic expenditures like our bulk shavings and our hay suppliers, you know, something as little as say our truck and our trailer maintenance shops. You know, if we're able to find a better deal somewhere else with a higher quality of customer service, we might decide to do that, or it might be a closer, you know, and trying to figure out with our shaving suppliers, for example, sometimes it's difficult for them to get their suppliers on their end to be routine. And they'll say, oh, well, normally we had a company once that was telling us that, okay, well, normally we would deliver every 3 weeks, but our lumber yards are running behind, so we're not going to get to you for an additional 3 weeks. I'm like, man, that really puts us in a bind, you know. So we try to keep tabs on multiple companies and multiple outlets and their pricing. So we're always trying to find the best deal for our clients without, you know, always picking the cheapest option, because normally the cheapest option has some sort of drawback to it. And it's just a lot of planning ahead and just keeping your finger on the pulse of the environment around us.
Definitely. Yeah. I think a lot of people, and myself included, you know, might get stuck, you know, oh, I always use this person or I always buy this product. But it's nice to keep an eye on you know, what's going on, what's everyone else charging, what's coming out that's new, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah. And that's, it's kind of ties back into, I'll segue a little bit, but like the saying of that's how we've always done it, I despise that saying. I grew up in 4-H and the motto was to make the best better, you know, and that's just kind of the way I approach everything. Like, how can this be better? Like, yes, this is working out well for us, but, you know, is there something that would make our lives even easier? And what can we do to help our cause, and how can we do this to make things easier for our clients? And, you know, just because something is the way it's always been done doesn't always mean that it can't be improved or modified to better fit our priorities and our goals, for the business and the clients. You know, it's No, I do not like the "that's how we've always done it" way of thinking. That doesn't seem to fly very far.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I think too, you know, for your clients' needs are changing, your horse's needs are changing, you should be keeping an eye out for, okay, what might meet these changing needs. It's going to make your business ultimately mm-hmm. more successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You've given me a good segue mm-hmm. into my next question, which is, what are some of the common management mistakes that you see barn managers, but definitely Western performance horse owners and managers make?
Well, I think we've touched on, you know, about trying not to be too greedy in a show schedule, or not having a complacent attitude about, you know, being shut off to change. But, you know, maybe one of the most important things that I see is a lack of communication. You know, it's a killer. I see it a lot. The system can be sound and everything can be in place for success, but I find if there's not an open flow of communication from the top to the bottom and then back up to the top again, you know, what should be easy days can sometimes turn into unnecessarily difficult work days. You know, I think there's a reason, you know, dictatorships don't last, you know, because the lowest salaried employee on the payroll, you know, all the way up to the person in charge for writing the checks, you know, everyone is key to the business's success. And being able to have honest feedback and exchange of ideas, like that's such a cornerstone for a healthy business culture. And, you know, whether it's between suits in a corporate office or, you know, in a barn, you know, with all of our jeans and, you know, tousled hair, like it's super important.
Yeah, it's such a good point. I think some of the people that I've enjoyed working with the most are the people that you can kind of throw ideas back and forth with and come up with mm-hmm. good solutions yeah, that work for everybody.
For sure.
Okay. So my final question for you today is, for those who might not yet be in a position like yours but would like to be someday, what advice would you like to give them about what skills or experiences would be non-negotiable that they need to try to get before they can step into this type of role?
Well, I mean, obviously it helps if you have horse experience, and I think it helps also, you know, that you've done your research and how, you know, a lot of different barns operate, both big and small, because you can always harvest ideas from other sources and you can really never stop learning. That's the beauty of it. You know, in a broader sense, I think the attributes that I think have helped me the most in my little kaleidoscope of roles here that I am always watching out for in any new employees that come in, you know, number one is knowing how to have heavy doses of FIO, which is figure it out. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in how difficult something is, and you're not thinking about how you're going to get it done. You know, it's focus on the solution and not on the problem. You know, you're not always going to have somebody above you or beside you who can show you how to do something. Sometimes you just have to figure it out, you know, and work the problem in front of you instead of being overwhelmed by its magnitude, you know, one chunk at a time. And then I think as well with that, the number two thing I would say is grit and work ethic. You know, if working with horses and the horse world has taught me anything, it's grit. You know, knowing how to hang on in the tempest, even when you feel like you aren't going to make it through, you know, it's noticeable when someone has grit, and other employers will pick up on that. And, you know, if you can stick your nose to the grindstone and keep working and keep grinding, it'll get you pretty far. You know, I guess it's a callback to one of my favorite poems is Rudyard Kipling's if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs. Like, that's if you can keep going when it seems really tough, you know, you'll come out the other side and you'll look back and say, man, that was such an incredible experience for me. It was so hard at the time, but there's so much I learned from it, and And other people take notice. Other people will take notice of that for sure.
That's amazing advice. I love that. And I would like to put a big dose of FIO on a sign, I think. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a staple for us.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think in the horse world, no matter what your role is, you're going to be in a situation where you don't know what to do. And maybe there's somebody there to help you right then. And you just have to figure it out and you learn the most there.
Yeah, for sure. Using good logic and common sense. You can make a lot of right decisions that way. And if you make a wrong decision, okay, well, you learn from it. What's the worst that can happen? You know, like, you'll learn from all those wrong decisions just as much from the right ones, and that'll help shape your way to go about it the next time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your advice.
Absolutely. I hope somebody can take something from it, you know. Enjoyed getting to talk to you, Haley, and it's been fun. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.